This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 24th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Rob Cantor has this week's edition of the Environmental Almanac. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana this weekend. But first, a look at today's news. The long wait for a new state budget is over. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich signed the measure into law Thursday. The new budget includes a 6% spending increase, with most of that new money going to schools. Sean Crawford reports.
Before signing the budget, the governor made about $500 million in cuts, including projects he deemed pork. His spokesperson, Rebecca Rausch.
Many of the pork projects the governor vetoed because they have nothing to do with the important mission of state government. However, there were some other worthy projects that were vetoed simply because we can't afford them in this operating budget.
Among those many might consider worthy, Alzheimer's research, Meals on Wheels for seniors, and help for the developmentally disabled. The governor was also picking and choosing based as much on politics as anything else. For example, the Democratic governor, who's feuded with his fellow party members, cut most House Democratic projects, but left many Republican ones untouched. He also left in the budget the second pay raise this month for himself and lawmakers. The General Assembly could vote to restore the cuts, but the governor's ally, Senate President Emil Jones, says he won't allow it. Blagojevich might try to use the savings to cover a proposed expansion of health care. I'm Sean Crawford.
The new state budget may be in place, but millions of dollars in so-called member initiatives have been taken out. Governor Rod Blagojevich calls the cuts pork that the state can't afford. But Democratic Representative Naomi Jacobson of Urbana says some of the cuts in her list of initiatives dealt with the two priorities the governor has been campaigning for, health care and education.
I had requested money for the Prairie Center methamphetamine program. I think that's health care. I think it's addressing health care. And he cut that. He cut money for the TAG program. The TAG program is a teen pregnancy prevention program that has been shown to work really well. And he cut that. And that is certainly about health care.
The state legislature may try to override the governor's line item vetoes. And Jacobson says she would vote for an override if given the chance. But Senate President Emil Jones, as mentioned, has promised to block any effort in the Senate to overturn the vetoes. The new state budget is a mixed bag for the University of Illinois. But as AM 580's Tom Rogers reports, one of its chief fiscal officers says it contains most of what the U of I was asking for.
The Associate Vice President for Planning and Budgeting at the U of I, Doug VinZant, says the budget represents an increase of 1.9%. That's what the governor had promised earlier in the year.
We were hoping that the state could come through with that base level increase of $13.3 million as the governor had proposed, and that's exactly where it came through, so we're right on target in terms of being able to move forward with the programs that we had planned for FY08.
That includes scheduled salary increases, but VinZant says certain other programs saw funding cuts, including Illinois Ventures, an entrepreneurship initiative that apparently lost $750,000. Other projects are still getting money, including the design work to renovate Lincoln Hall and to build a new biotech genomic facility. VinZant says the university is still poring over the budget, though, to determine the real impact. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
U.S. Senator Dick Durbin calls it the right decision and a major victory for Lake Michigan. That's the Illinois Democrats' reaction to BP America abandoning plans to increase the amount of pollution it sends from a northwest Indiana oil refinery into Lake Michigan. Durbin and Representative Rahm Emanuel of Chicago ran an ad on Chicago's radio stations urging people to oppose BP's plans by signing an online petition. They issued a joint statement saying every person who spoke out against the pollution had their voices heard. BP officials denied the company was succumbing to intense public and political pressure, which came largely from Illinois environmental groups and politicians. Instead, the company said the decision was due to regulatory uncertainty. Champaign County's taxpayers will help restore parts of the old county courthouse in Urbana. Last night, the Champaign County Board voted to issue public safety sales tax bonds to pay for the restoration of parts of the courthouse built in 1901. The bonds will also be used to rebuild the clock and bell tower. Republican board member John Jay voted against the use of tax money. He says rebuilding the tower would push the overall construction costs too high.
I can't support this. I think the monies that could be saved here could be used in a lot of other places, a lot more important than rebuilding this to its original height.
Democrat Ralph Langenheim says the courthouse with its clock and bell tower is a symbol for Champaign County, like the Eiffel Tower is for Paris. He says it's important that Champaign County express its spirit with such a symbol. About $6 million will be used from public safety sales tax bonds for the project. Democratic County Board Member Steve Beckett says about $850,000 in private funds has been raised so far to rebuild the tower to its original 130 feet. He says he's sure that more private money will come in. Authorities in Knox County, Illinois, say the severe storms that raked the northern third of Illinois yesterday caused at least one confirmed fatality. One wave of the storms whipped through the Galesburg area early yesterday afternoon, uprooting trees and bringing down power lines with winds estimated at from 60 to 80 miles per hour. About an hour later, emergency crews were called to the rural community of Victoria, where a man had been hit by a falling tree. Knox County Coroner Mark Thomas pronounced the man dead at the scene, but was withholding his name pending notification of family. Galesburg's two hospitals also reported several injuries from falling trees and flying glass and debris. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. On this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor points out a tiny visitor that's both beautiful and amazing and probably in your garden right now.
More often than not, when I try to point out hummingbirds to my wife and children, I wind up gesturing toward air. "Hey guys," I call, "come see the hummingbird at the..." Oh, never mind. That said, the months of August and September provide some of the year's best opportunities for observing hummingbirds in Illinois. That's because individuals that have been farther north during the breeding season collect here on their way south. When I say hummingbird here, I mean ruby-throated hummingbird, which is the only species of the family that breeds east of the Mississippi and the only one commonly seen in Illinois. All ruby-throats are an iridescent green on the back and whitish in front, with only adult males sporting the ruby-red throat that gives the species its name. Hummingbirds are perhaps most remarkable for how small they are compared to other birds. Ruby throats are shorter than 4 inches from bill to tail tip and weigh just 3.5 grams. That's comparable to 3.5 grapes, or about midway between the weights of a penny and a nickel. Despite their small size, many hummingbirds migrate over long distances. Ruby throats heading south may travel 2,000 miles to reach their winter territory in southern Mexico and Central America, including a 500-mile nonstop leg of the trip over the Gulf of Mexico. Hummingbirds are also remarkable for their agility in flight. With wings that beat 53 times a second, they can hold themselves perfectly still in front of a flower, then zip off in any direction, up, down, sideways, or even backwards. Most people are aware that hummingbirds feed on nectar, which they obtain with their elongated bills. But nectar represents only half of the ruby throat's diet. The other half is insects. Ruby throats most often catch bugs by hawking them, which is to say they wait on an open perch for prey to come by and then fly out to grab it from the air. Ruby throats also pick insects and spiders off of trees and flowers, a behavior known as gleaning. People who observe hummingbirds are often struck by how combative they are, despite their delicate appearance. Even where there are multiple sources of food and plenty of perches, hummingbirds chase each other off like lions at a kill. The easiest way to attract hummingbirds to your yard is to provide food for them. In the long term, you can do this by planting native perennials, such as columbine and bee balm, or better still, trumpet vine, which is a hummingbird favorite, with its 3-inch-long scarlet flowers. For a quicker fix, you can simply put up a hummingbird feeder filled with either commercial imitation nectar or a 20% solution of sugar water, for which recipes are widely available in birding books and on the World Wide Web.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.uiuc.edu, and you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the U of I School of Integrative Biology. In the forecast for the region today, occasional showers and thunderstorms. Some may be producing heavy rainfall, the high around 92 degrees. We'll have southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight, the low around 68 degrees. Partly sunny tomorrow, the high around 85 degrees. That's a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning. Partly cloudy tomorrow evening, the low around 62. Mostly sunny Sunday, the high around 85, mostly clear Sunday evening, the low around 62 degrees. Looking ahead to Monday, mostly sunny with a high around 88. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, August 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.